flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 8:03 here on the morning shift. It's Mikey P, Squid Billy. Thank you for hanging out with us here on this snowy and very, very cold Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's staying safe out there. And I know that there's some people headed to work like it's a normal morning. Anybody up in the northwest part of the Atlanta metro area probably didn't get much last night. It seems like everybody else around other parts of town still really, really crazy in a number of accidents that are still going on out there. So make sure you keep them at 10 and 2 and make sure you keep it plugged in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, we're hitting the wake-up call this segment, 404-726-0929.
So Conti hit me back.
Okay. Is he in?
He didn't say no. He said his response was, he's probably going to kill me for this. His response was, with a racing engine or a factory car with details on it? And I'm like, I wrote him back. I said, no, this is straight from Hendrick Motorsports in an auction. And then I sent him a picture of the car. It actually, I like this one better because A, it's got an engine, and B, you can kind of do your own thing with it. You can put your own decals on it. You could paint it if you wanted, because the Chase Elliott one is straight NAPA. You don't want to touch it. I mean, you want to drop an engine in it. But it's only like $700. This one's $18,000.
Significantly more expensive.
It's got an engine.
There's no doubt about it.
You can't turn laps in the car without an engine, Mike.
You can't.
I have a quick question about this, Bo. And I really want to know about your long-term plan when it comes to this
car.
There's
not one.
So would your plan at this moment in time be to have this car for a little while, have your fun with it, obviously, I guess, you know, suit it up and detail it and get it fixed up how you want it to, and then would you try to flip it, or is this something you would want to keep for the rest of your life?
Keep it. You know, I would.
Him in pork shop doing hot laps, found somebody to put the picture of his face on the hood.
Well, think about it. One day, this car will be what they're using. This will be like an ARCA car. Like, you know, this will be short track racing.
Yeah.
And so. So I could drop pork chop in it, and we could move her up from like go karts. You know, it could change the career path for her. Instead of being a golfer, which is what I have the goal, she could be like the next Danica Patrick or a Haley Deegan, but you know, actually good. So and winning.
Haley Deegan's on to any cars. She quit the stock car world.
Little brother, because you know their dad, you know their
Brian Deegan.
Her little brother is Hayden Deegan, and he's about to take the Supercross world by storm.
Yeah, it definitely is. We're going to go out to the phone lines now, and remember, I want to talk to you about the Falcons. Who are the free agents you want to keep in town? And that conversation can start with our buddy Chief over in South Fulton. And what's happening, Chief?
First of all, good morning. Good morning, fellas.
What up, man?
First of all, we're going to keep Simmons, but we need to keep Simmons. I'm sorry. We need to keep him, but that's not what I really called for. It's cold outside. You guys know it's cold out there, and And I got a question for you guys. And I don't know if the kids listening or not, but they might be a little disappointed in me. And I'm hanging out with Frosty the Snowman, right? And me and Frosty, we hanging out, and Frosty has a scarf around his neck. Why? You a snowman. Why do you have a scarf around your neck? Why is he smoking on a pipe? I mean, ain't you going to melt? I mean, these are questions that I just got to ask, Mike.
Well, here's the thing, and I appreciate the call, Chief, as always. I'm not sure that Frosty was in charge of his garments or any of this. Like, right, that was actually placed by other people. So Frosty didn't just wake up in the morning and go, dude, let me grab this scarf. It's cold outside.
Well, it was just so he wasn't
somebody
naked.
Else put it around his neck.
It was just to have some clothes on. Did you see somebody had a video, and I don't know if it was a parody or not, but this kid had made a snowman, and then he had, like, put, like, a knife in the snowman's stomach and poured, like, red paint
Jesus.
On it.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it was pretty creepy. I think the kid might grow up to be a serial killer.
I don't know how you find the depths of social media the way you do. Like, I don't see any of the crazy stuff you do. I don't know what it is. That's absolutely – like, what is it? Is it a Halloween snowman? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, it's the – I don't know. That kid, though, probably should be checked.
I also think that Frosty Snowman, if he was picking out the scarf, he probably did it for the same reason that Bo and I both have beards. You got to separate that chin area from the neck. Oh, you know what I mean?
Ain't that the truth?
Otherwise, you just look like the Michelin Man.
I also think
you got to get that going.
I also think if you grow a beard the right way, if you have the right beard, it can be somewhat of a superpower. Like, look at Trey Young since he's got a beard. I mean, all of a sudden he's like way more. He's the leader we've always wanted. His assists have gone up.
You hear this, Garrett? You hear this? Garrett's back there shaking his head with that baby face.
Yeah. Well, they don't let you have one at Chick-fil-A. Do they? They don't, do they?
No,
I didn't think so.
Definitely.
It's like the Yankees.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Don't forget 404-726-0929 if you want to weigh in. Let's go back to Coleman, our buddy Coleman over in Winder. Good morning, Coleman. What's going on, man?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. Sir Squid, fellow Squid Bill, and you checking in?
Sir?
Yes, I think what is the other two free agents? He said Simmons, but who else is it?
All right, the list of unrestricted free agents: Lorenzo Carter, TQ Graham, Richie Grant, Eddie Goldman, Devon Harris.
I like Lorenzo Carter just because he's a Georgia boy.
Okay,
and I think we should keep him. But one question is, and Andrew Jones should be in the Hall of Fame too. But also, Sir Squid, I'd like to purchase one of the. Merchandise. So where do I go to do that at?
You can go to Etsy. It's posted on my Twitter.
There you go.
You can go. It's linked on the profile on my Twitter. You can go there and you can grab you some merch.
Sounds like Publix was sold out of toilet paper. So there you go.
What?
What? Anyways, let's go back to.
Well, hey, I gotta get sales up so I can buy this race car.
Let's go back to the lines. And here's somebody else that's probably interested. Let's go up to our buddy Squidbillion over in Dallas, man. Squidbillion, you get any snow up there, man?
Morning, fellas. Morning, Ella Squid. No, we didn't get any snow out here. We got some the first time. We got about 3 inches out here the first dump. But I drove through snow coming back from over in Augusta. And drove through some nastiness, but not too bad. But, yeah, just wanted to call in. I know it's been a while, but wanted to let you know still out here rapping, still out here listening. Love the show, you guys. I did want to call in on Friday with the culture discussion, but you guys had picks, so we'll let it go. I did want to say, you know, Tiffany can have brunch without eating the pastry. She, you know, so that doesn't, she's not necessarily cultured. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate the call, man.
Appreciate
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Quid Billion. I'm not going to speak on Tiffany's culture without her being here, but nonetheless.
I tell you what's so bad. I mean, did Mike's Mafia, they don't do cold
yeah,
weather?
Yeah, no flame. They
don't do snow.
It is what it is. It is what it is. You have your ups and you have your downs. But nonetheless, man, appreciate anybody that's out there listening. I did too, and we touched on this earlier, but we haven't talked about it in just a minute. TGL, the golf league. I wanted to go back to that in just a minute. Watched it last night. It's the first time. It was the first match, is what Bo wants to call it, for the Atlanta Drive. And watching Justin Thomas, Billy Horschel, who joined Chris Goforth and myself on a Falcons pregame. Mm-hmm. It was a very heavy-handed Falcons version of TGL. There was no doubt about it. Arthur Blank is in attendance. They're wearing Dirty Bird chains. Billy Horschel numerous times does the Dirty Bird. They win fleetingly, going away 4-0 in the match last night.
It was a shutout.
It was a shutout. And it was against
the New York team with Ricky Fowler on it.
Well, did you see Matthew who the owner was for the New York team? Was the Mets, Cohen.
Oh, really?
Mets owner, and he was in attendance as well. So that's another.
I didn't see him.
Feel good about that.
Justin Thomas was like they won a shutout instead of like the first shutout, and he was really, really hardcore into making sure it was a shutout.
Yeah, he was. And look, I thought it was a cool ordeal. I'm wondering if anybody else watched it last night. I put it out there. I know that, you know who was the first person to hit me up once I tweeted that I was watching it? Abe Gordon, because Abe of course has 5 televisions and watches every single sporting event on TV.
I think one of the hardest things for the TGL is because if you haven't watched it, guys, they hit off of basically if you're at a driving range and you've got a mat,
yeah,
their mat is grass.
Yep.
And it's real.
I was shocked by that.
It's real soppy. I love it. But the hard part is the fact that they're chipping essentially off of like an artificial surface.
Yeah.
And because that to me is probably where it's caused some of the guys that have played in earlier matches some issues.
Yeah.
But putting, you know, putting is, and I guess a little bit with putting, but I don't think it's that big of a deal for the putting, but the chipping it absolutely is.
I think so too. Also, notice they not only are they hitting off the real grass. Did you notice when they're hitting out of like the fairway bunkers? They have a lip, a little lift that comes up in front of them, and they hit out of sand, and they can't hit the lip. And I think it was Billy Horschel that was hitting out of it yesterday and hit the lip.
Well, and that green has like hydraulic.
Yeah, it has pistons.
Yeah, and it changes the undulation of the green.
Yeah.
It's everything about it is really cool. I have a feeling one day, if you have really deep pockets, there'll be a plate. There could be a place that, you know, I can imagine it could be pretty expensive to do.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do it with the real grass. I think you'd do it with the, but that's like to me the next step of a golf simulator.
And we got to get to break here in just a second. But my next question would be if and when Arthur Blank is able to build a place here in Atlanta that is able to host these events where you're actually traveling and it's not just a central location, you're going, right? Because that's the first thing I thought of yesterday is if there was one down here in Midtown and that's where they were playing, I'd be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Me and the EW Live guys, we would absolutely take a field trip down from the hood and come down there and watch it because it would be awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, Arthur Blank, if he did it, you'd have like $3 beers and stuff, so $2 hot dogs. So it would be. Well, I mean, right? He would. I don't
know. Like, you know what's crazy is in the national championship, obviously being at Mercedes-Benz, it always happens every time there's a big event. Somebody tweets out a picture of the menu at Mercedes-Benz,
yeah,
and it goes crazy.
Yeah.
And people are just like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, dude, it's been like this for how old is Mercedes-Benz now? 8 years?
Dude, we just finished our 8th season.
It's crazy.
In there.
It's insane to think about.
17 was the first year. So we're about to enter. We're two more Falcon seasons will be the 10th season. That would be.
Which one's older, Mercedes-Benz or Truist? I can't remember.
Truist is older.
By a year?
Is that right? I think
a year
maybe,
or two, maybe
2 years.
Anyhow, man.
I think Truist opened, I want to say it opened in 15.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Hey, appreciate everybody listening in. Thank you to all the callers. Look, we got to go to break. When we come back, we are going to continue talking about this NFL coaching carousel, some of the coordinator hires, who might be on the docket, and who might be the next name to fall. We've got that for you coming up next. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift. Mikey P. Squid Billy, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back in. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mikey P., Squid Billy, it's the morning shift, hanging out with you guys. Hopefully you're staying safe out there. Stay out of those icy road conditions. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I want to get into some of this Aaron Glenn conversation coming up here in just a minute. But before we get there, one of the things we have not really had too much of a chance to weigh in on is the reports and really the comments. Andrea Adelson had this on ESPN.com. The ACC will weigh changes to its title game. Now, you and I talked over an hour ago about how we felt about the first version of the college football playoff, the 12-team. It had its ups. It had its downs. It needs its tweaks. But if you're the college football playoff committee, you might be dealing with a moving target here if the ACC starts saying things like, we might not play a title game anymore because it's not beneficial to us.
Well, even their title game would be one of those deals where they have one team, the regular season champion would be given a week off, and they would have the second and the third place teams play. They even talked about essentially wiping the schedule out at the end of the year and having a 1-4, the conference schedule. I think there's so many different layers to it, but to me, what they're trying to do is – they're saying, okay, well, there was 7 teams from the Big Ten and the SEC. Well, that seems like 8 is probably the closer number the way it'll be, more than likely. So we've got to guarantee ourselves 1-2 teams in every year. And how do we do that? And you do it by having a regular season champion and a conference tournament champion, much like college basketball does it.
Is there any chance
I'm not saying the regular season champion college basketball gets, but normally you do.
This is what we got to keep in mind for this entire ordeal, and this is what I don't think a lot of people understand. When you talk about changing the seeding in the college football playoff, there's 12 teams. There is obviously the automatic bids for the conference champions and everything else at the top. This is not, when you talk about changing that and the college football playoff committee making tweaks and, hey, we need to make changes to the automatic bids and the seeding at the top. It's not as simply a thing where it's got to be a majority vote or a consensus vote. This has to be a unanimous vote amongst the college commissioners that they are going to change the seating. And if you're the ACC or the Big 12, why would you ever vote for that? Like, you're not going to vote for that right now the way things stand. You would have to ask for concessions in some other part of what they're trying to do. If anybody is looking at it going, well, you got it's ridiculous that these teams at the top four seeds, it ain't going anywhere.
Well,
like, that's not going to change anytime soon.
No, but I don't think that's the ACC's problem. I think the ACC was worried that with, like, Rhett Lashley said it before the game, or I think maybe said after the game, but the fact that, you know, because we lost, we're going to be punished.
Yeah, right.
For playing in our conference title game when we had a better record than the team that beat us. We went into that with a better record. We did everything
and
right.
And I agree with them.
And that's the conundrum that you're dealing with. And that's why they're ultimately going to go to 16 teams, and they're going to give every conference, every Power Four, at least two probably. And it sucks because you're going to have teams that you're not going to have. Ohio State won every game in the playoff by double digits. And people were trying to say, well, Notre Dame didn't deserve to be there because they weren't a conference champion.
Yeah.
Notre Dame deserved to be there as much as SMU did. In fact, more, because they played a better schedule.
Yeah. I also think that there was a lot of people guilty of comparing this year's participants in college ball playoff to teams of years past. And maybe it was your own team. Maybe if you're a Georgia fan, you're going, well, this Georgia team is not as good as it was the last couple of years.
Florida State fans were very guilty of that.
And that happens. And I think a lot of times you compare teams this year to what teams were in the past. I don't know that any team in this year's college football playoff would have beaten most of the teams from the last 5 or 10 years. College football champions.
I think that Ohio State team we just played was pretty good. I would have liked to have seen the 21 Georgia defense go against that offense.
Sure.
I think that Ohio State defense. But you're judging this model based off of the other models in the past. And I think what I mean by that is, I don't think that Ohio State would have got in the old format. You kind of disagreed. You said you didn't know. And you could use the old, well, they're the best team because they were on paper in a lot of ways. They were one of the two best teams in the country on paper. And so
I think they would have used the 2017 Bama model to get in. You lost to one team, and not only that, but their loss would have been to the number one seed. Then you tried to backdoor it.
But Ohio State lost two games. They lost to Oregon and Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying I think Texas would have been more deserving.
I still can't believe they lost to Michigan, man. Still keeps popping up in the back of my head. I'm like, yeah, what a bad loss.
To me, Texas would have been more deserving based on what they did in the regular season, because they lost one game in the regular season, and then they lost one game in the SEC championship game, which was all to the same team, and they took that team to overtime to do it. How do you put Ohio State in, who lost two close games, but one of which is the best team they played all year, and the other to a mid-level team as far as what the in their conference that year?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
They both lost games at home.
And in this conversation, by the way, ding, is exactly why we landed with 12 teams. It's exactly why we're here in the first place.
Still too many. I think 8 would have been fine. You had 7 and 8 playing.
I think 10 was the right number.
I don't. I think 8. I just... First off, I still think 4 would be just fine.
I'm on that boat.
Because
as well.
You got way, and I was always on that boat, but I'm still okay with it. But if you have to give me more, 6 to 8, okay. Because 8, I will concede this. 8 gave you a 7-8 national title game, which you wouldn't have gotten in the past, and I thought those teams played very well in the college football playoff, and I thought they earned the right to be there.
I agree.
In the very end, and I refuse to listen to any argument taking anything away from what either team did, because Ohio State went through Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and Notre Dame. Those are 4 teams who all year long we said deserved to be there.
I agree.
For the most part.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Tennessee was a little bit of a flip early, you know, back and forth. And then Notre Dame went through Indiana, who was undefeated for most of the season. Only loss before the playoff was to what? Ohio State. In fact, Indiana's 2 losses this year, whether you like them or not, were the champion, the two teams playing in the title game.
Isn't that
game.
Crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy
and
to think about?
They lost to double digits by both. So...
Heck, they could have been the team that used the Bama blueprint from 2017.
Yeah.
If that, you know,
it's a good call.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame went through Indiana, Georgia, Penn State, And then they lost to Ohio State. Tell me Notre Dame didn't deserve to be there. I'm sorry, but it's a ludicrous
argument.
Just that
Notre Dame's loss was so bad, I think that's what people can't get off of.
But that is why a playoff was created.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
that's why we're here right now.
Because you wanted to give these teams the cover-up for a bad loss like that.
Yeah. Well, and it also, and I think Ryan Day actually said this, you have a system now that allows teams to actually improve during the season. And I think that for a lot of college football fans, I think that's a tough pill to swallow because you've had to be perfect for so long in college football if you want to win a national championship. And now it's like, yeah, we can actually try to hit our stride at the right time.
He's right. But Ohio State improved and then they didn't. When they took a giant step back against Michigan. And that's the outlier
so
loss.
Crazy.
That's the thing to me. And I'm not trying to bag on Ohio State because I thought that they had the best roster going into the season. That's why I asked the question before the season. But when you stumble in that game, that could have eliminated them in an old model, and it could have eliminated them in an eighteen model.
Yeah, it could have. Very well could have. And I think that's one of the things to – and listen, people, you know, you forget that you almost kind of go back and still have the conversation of you know, who the teams were going to be like 11 through 14 at the end. I still have no regrets about any of the things. Like, I didn't think Bama deserved to be in. I didn't think South Carolina deserved to be in. I didn't think Ole Miss deserved to be in. Like, I think they got the right – to me, they still I don't regret any of that. And that's why I say I think 10 would be fine. If you had stopped at 10 and given the top two a bye – and then worked on from there, or however else you had to do it, then I think that this, you know, would have been a conversation worth having. And I don't know how the bracket all works out, the math and everything, but the first conversation, I thought they would go from 4 to 6, and I thought the top two would have a bye. And then it would have just been real easy. You just added a game.
I'm not in favor of moving Army-Navy. I love the fact that Army-Navy is all by itself. I love the fact that it's always in the wintertime, so they've got the big jack, the pea coats or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
I love all of that. Army Navy kind of screws everything up, though. The Heisman Trophy screws everything up because you're ending kind of late, and then you're going to end even later when you and I mean everything I hear 16 teams is not if it's just in 2 years.
They only screw it up. They only screw it up because the people making the money in college football are afraid of the NFL. That's why it screws it up. Otherwise, why can we have a national title game on a Monday, but we can't have playoff games on Mondays or any of the other stuff that early?
Well, they're not scared of the NFL because they went against them and they lost.
They lost.
And
does everybody.
So they stupidly went against them and lost. And they knew it. They knew they were you've backed yourself in a corner. You have to play the game some point. And I don't really necessarily like them on a Thursday night starting at 8 o'clock either.
Yeah.
It makes me tired the next day.
Tough to watch when you're working.
And I want to watch them. I'm going to watch them.
Tough to watch when you're working the morning shift, which we are right now. Hopefully everybody is staying safe out there. Thanks for listening to us. Look, we're going to roll on. We come back. We're going to have a little bit of steak tips. We're also going to track this New York Jets head coaching situation. They had one in town. And then he left town. We'll update you on the latest with the New York Jets head coach, possibly signing on the dotted line today. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 8:41. Thanks for sticking with us. It's the Morning Shift, Mike and Squid Billy hanging out. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Stepped out into the bullpen a minute ago. And was watching whatever was on the TV, I think it was NFL Network, and they were talking about fashion trends that you have fallen victim to in the past. And I don't know about you guys, but there's just one that always hangs over my head. I fell victim to the oversized fitted hat. Like, do any of y'all ever go that route? Yeah, Dylan's like, man, that's bad. Like, it's like where you go and you go into like Lids and they have like the 8 1/4 size hat, or at least for me because I got a big head, and it just kind of covers, it like goes over your ears. Like, that's just such a bad look. I see pictures of myself back in college. I'm like, come on, dude.
I was definitely in that phase, man. It was not a good phase.
No, it's not a good phase.
You got the oversized cap, and then I had it where I had like the flattest bill to or brim, or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, it wasn't a good look.
I was never a flat bill guy. Now, my hat has less curve in the bill than it used to.
Okay. You were one of those you used to wear like cataract lenses.
I'm
not gonna see anything.
I used to pretty much put a crease in my it was like this play. I ruined bills.
You had tunnel vision.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tunnel vision.
Yo.
But I never did oversized hat. My head's small anyways.
Yeah.
So I would actually wear basically I never liked a fitted hat because for one they're always too big on me, but yeah. I didn't like a hat that had too hard of a surface of the top, the front of it. Like I needed a hat with a give. See, even the one this
oh yeah, you're talking about like up on the top. Okay.
Yeah, even this Buckhead Butcher Shop hat that I have now.
Yeah, you don't want to be too stiff.
It's a lot more stiffer than I used to have. Because I felt that it made me look stupid, but because my hat, it makes me look like I'm wearing a 10-gallon bucket on my head.
Speaking of Buckhead Butcher Shop, hope you guys are driving safe because I know that somebody right around the corner from them, Buckhead Saloon, got a car through the front yesterday. So speaking of them, make sure you're driving safe. Hey, Atlanta United is back. They opened the preseason this Saturday with a friendly at Chattanooga FC. You can hear that all of the action live on Sports Radio 99 The Game starting at 3 p.m. That's Atlanta United at Chattanooga FC Saturday at 3 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talked about it before we went to break. Aaron Glenn, the defense coordinator from the Detroit Lions, flew to New York yesterday. Reports came out, I think it was Ian Rappaport, that they don't want to let him out of the building. Well, guess what? Late last night, it was reported that he actually flew home back to Detroit on Woody Johnson's plane. The Jets made him a significant offer. It sounds like they haven't come to terms quite yet. I think that if he gets through another day, or maybe it is today, that he is also interviewing with the New Orleans Saints if he can't come to terms with the Jets. Take your Atlanta Falcons hat off for a second. Which one of those jobs would you rather have? New York Jets or the New Orleans Saints? Not from Falcon fanhood.
Neither.
I mean, like, my thing is, like, I'm looking at it, and if I'm Aaron Glenn, like, I'm like, dude, the Jets just seems impossible to find the right mix there.
So here's the deal. New Orleans is there's problems with both jobs.
There are massive problems with both jobs.
And if you're a Saints fan, be real. There's problems. Neither has a long-term solution at quarterback. Neither. One has a defense that you could step in with and some guys on offense, but you can step in right now and you could possibly win if you could get consistent play at the quarterback position offensively. Because your defense has got some talent around it. New Orleans has offensive talent that if you had consistent quarterback play and you can get healthy, you could step in when you have Alvin Kamara locked up. Chris Olave is still on a rookie deal. He's got two more years.
He's like in Tua territory with me.
But I'm just saying,
yeah,
your offensive line turned out to be a little bit better than you thought last year.
Yeah.
But your defense is now the best. One of the best three players on the defense was traded away, Marshawn Lattimore.
True.
You have an aging defensive end in Cam Jordan. Now, DeMario Davis is still a player there.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still some aging pieces, yes.
But you're also in cap hell.
I was going to say, that's really the kicker when it comes to all this.
And
like,
so,
you're going to get some relief at the quarterback position either way at both these places, but it's not enough in New Orleans.
And here could be the deal breaker. If I take New Orleans' job, I have to work with Mickey Loomis and know that Mickey Loomis is there.
True.
It's his job. I am under him, and I have to find a way. If I go to New York, then I could
working
say
working for Woody Johnson's kids.
Well, no, they're about to hire a GM. They're about to hire a GM, and so you kind of would they do something where it's like, hey, you know what? Can you work with this guy, or maybe the GM and you are go in as a unit and you are in this together? But I think it's a lot more of working together in New York than it would be New Orleans because Mickey Loomis has been there forever. He's won Super Bowls. He's also a master of cap manipulation.
You got Quinnen and Quincy Williams and some of the other pieces they have defensively from New York, though. Those are some of the hardest pieces to find.
And I think Aaron Glenn's heart would be there. That's where he was drafted to play 31 years ago. He wore number 31 there.
Man, I don't know. To your point, they both have issues. It's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out. I can't think of anybody else better to talk about some of these situations, though, than Steak Shapiro. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to see you.
I was waiting on you to say it first.
No.
Always leave
the stare off.
I got to ask you before we get to the coaching conversation. You put out on Twitter yesterday, and I think you responded, Scott Van Pelt, number of people talking about Atlanta's airport and the craziness going on. Do you ever get any responses of, like, crazy stories from people that you were talking to yesterday?
Well, we are trying to figure out, and I think we know exactly what happened. It's the perfect storm. Listen, Atlanta airport's getting absolutely in Atlanta getting – I just hate that everybody leaves town, the media, right? Those are the ones that control the narrative because they're writing the blogs and they're on social and everything else. And they just listen, when your line is so long that it's going outside and it's 20 degrees.
Baggage claim outside.
Outside is 20 degrees. So I think what happened is think about Snowmageddon, which is when everybody left at the same time. So you all woke up, whether you had a 3 o'clock flight or a 10 a.m. flight, everybody's saying we got to get to the airport early. Either we're going to change our flight or we're going to get there 4 hours early. So I think it was, instead of the day being spread out, I think you had 100,000 people show up and try to get on flight. The TSA line was longer than it's ever been in the history of the Atlanta airport.
That's crazy.
Those are folks flying regularly.
Is there a chance that they were also understaffed because of the traveling conditions?
I don't think yesterday morning wasn't – but travel was an issue yesterday morning, was it?
No, but I do think – there.
No,
there were some reports that, hey, be careful, don't be out past a certain time.
I think they all showed up at the same time. I don't know. We're going to try to talk to some folks about that. Listen, I got other things to talk about.
Okay,
I got five minutes here. I like hearing you guys talk about coaches, and I was thinking about all the coaches I've covered here and how it all plays out about the same way. And I'm talking about, I've probably covered 40, 50 coaches. If you include Georgia, which was, I think I covered the back end, maybe. Ray Goff, Mark Richt, Kirby, that's the shortest one.
Yeah, Jim Donnan.
Oh, yeah, Jim Donnan. I covered him, covered Hewitt, covered Brian Gregory, covered Josh Pastner, covered David Sotomayor, covered Bobby Kremins, covered George O'Leary, back end of that nightmare 1-11 year.
Bill Lewis.
Bill Lewis and all that.
Do you remember how Jim Donnan got the job when they had Glenn Mason
from
Kansas was going to have it?
And then took it.
He took it and then went back. He did a Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, which has happened a couple of times. Bobby Kremins, you know, Bobby Kremins took the South Carolina job, and the day of the press conference or whatever, he said, I can't leave.
No.
That was his alma mater, which is similar to, what was it? That happened with Billy Donovan, who took the job. And Tom Izzo, I don't know if you know this, Tom Izzo was in Atlanta, took the Hawks job, went back to East Lansing, Michigan, and then once he got back on campus, he couldn't leave, and they lost on Thomas. But here's what I want to say about, and I think about Dan Quinn, and I have had a chance to talk to owners and coaches and just say, listen, I don't know everything, but here's what I know. It's never going to last, the good times. I remember telling Arthur Blank, it's not realistic, that you have to be thick-skinned, you cannot listen to all the noise, and you will be fired. You will absolutely be fired. That is going to happen. Think about Dan Quinn's final 2 years here and the level of abuse that this guy was taking. You would have thought that Dan Quinn was an utter buffoon, right? Dan Quinn in Seattle was the best defensive coordinator in the league possible.
He was.
And he was in Dallas.
No doubt.
He was in Dallas. He went to a Super Bowl here, and then the next year won a playoff game after nobody goes back when you lose a Super Bowl. He won in L.A., and they went to Philly and played tough.
Should have won that game.
And now he's back in the NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah.
So what do we know? Like, we sat here mocking that guy and his phrases and expressions. People are getting on Raheem now because he's too verbose. I hear other stations of guys want to kick. We don't know any. Is Mike Smith a good coach? I don't know. He had a hell of a great run. Were we good to him at the end? Not really.
No, I thought there was one point where his family was mentioned in a press conference, and I thought it was completely unfair and out of line.
In terms of what?
Well, basically, how would your family handle the losing, and how they handle if you lose your job or your job being in question? And I thought that was out of line because that's, first off, it leave people's families out of things. It's hard enough when you're going through stuff.
Well, my point is, it's we don't know anything. You know, like Arthur Smith went 7-10, 7-10 with a roster. We won one more game than Arthur Smith roster that had double the amount of talent. So I don't know. Will Arthur Smith coach somewhere else again?
Yeah.
And be really good? Josh McDaniel was the babe, the boy, how many times as an offensive coordinator? Was he a horrible coach? I don't know. He had two bad runs in Denver and L.A. My point is you're going to be fired. And, you know, Mark Richt got fired, and Mike Smith got fired, and Dan Quinn got fired, and that's the job. Lenny Wilkins got fired. I was thinking about all the guys that covered with the Hawks. Really, the standout is, you know, I know Freddie Gonzalez is in between, but Bobby Cox and Brian Snicker and Kirby Smart. Right, you could argue,
and even Brian Snicker got whispers.
Well,
and has,
but Bobby Cox was fired by the Braves. He was fired the first time around.
Okay, but I'm talking about the end of his run.
Yeah, I know, but
Brian Snicker will leave on his own recognizance, I would imagine. Right?
Yeah. Well, the point is though, is that you can be fired somewhere and come back and be a very successful coach.
By the way,
it's about the building though.
You're a good coach, even if you're fans are going. I'm not all of them.
No, yeah.
Not all of them, but yeah. I mean. How can you say Dan Quinn's not just a good coach? He's a tremendous. Look at his last five jobs.
Yeah. Well,
look at that guy. And we treated him at the end in this town like he was a clown.
And that's the thing. I think it's a really good point because you think about it. He never stopped being a good coach. To your point, did he lose his way? Did the end of building stuff come up that hurt? Yeah.
Maybe that's inevitable. I don't know how many companies you have the same head of sales or the same CEO or, you know. You know who else loses your way? Your quarterback's not quite as good, perhaps. Matt Ryan on the back
well,
end.
Well, and here's what I'll say to your point. If you're going to be a defensive head coach, you have to have a Jesse of an offensive play caller. And that's exactly what has made Dan Quinn successful at both of his stops when he has been successful.
You know, even covering the Hawks, Lon Kruger, he took abuse. Lon Kruger's an unbelievable coach in college, everywhere he's been. He got run out of town. Budenholzer, we were done with. The guy's had three jobs since then, big jobs.
Won
right?
a title.
Yeah, won a title. What did we say about him, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. As all these teams are hiring coaches and we're worried about Jeff Albrecht and everything else, it's just the nature of that. You will be fired. You will be run out of town. And, you know, your last the GM will last longer than you will. But at some point, unless you are Bobby Cox, Brian Snicker, Kirby Smart for the most part, you don't decide when you get to leave.
No, you don't. And it's the same. It's the, like players say, man, it stands for not for long.
Guess what? Raheem Morris will be the best coach in the NFL if we go 12-5. This year, we're saying, did we make the right call?
Winning cures all.
That's what it's about. Winning and at some point, you will not just keep winning. It won't happen. Yeah. And you're either Mike Tomlin in your place where they're not going to fire you for it, or you're going to get run out of town, which is what happened to Dan Quinn. I'm rooting for him on Sunday for sure.
Too.
I think we all are. Real quick, what do you guys got coming up?
We got crazy storm, man. We're going to check in with Graf in New Orleans. There's a foot of snow on the ground in a city that's never seen that.
At my parents' house in Pensacola. It's crazy. They've never seen
Rosemary Beach 30A is covered in snow.
It's nuts.
We'll talk about that. A lot on the Atlanta Hawks here. We didn't get to it yesterday. Also find out how Atlanta did, how folks other than the airport are saying about the national title in Atlanta. Sandra's here. She spent the night in Atlanta. I just drove in. No issues at all. Not telling you to get on the road, but. You know, let's go. We got a job to do.
There you go, man. There you go. That's going to do it for us here on The Morning Shift. Be back with you bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Steakhouse is next.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.